Okay, let's begin on the Mem Beis and Aleph. I think we got a few lines down yesterday. And like 10 lines down or so. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Meit Hashmishel Shel Nachtom, which the Mishnah was telling us, which I don't have in this volume here, but I believe the previous volume, that the Nachtom, the baker, would stick his hands in the water, the cold water, to clean it off in between while he's baking the matzahs. He would clean any of the flour left over and to have a new fresh hand for baking the new matzah. So now this water had a lot of flour and water floating around in it, and that was problematic. So what are you supposed to do that water? The water you're supposed to spill out. So the Gemara says, Tani chada, shovchin b'makom majon. One says you spill it in a place, majon, a place where it goes down. It goes to a sewer, let's say, and in a place, ve'ein shovchin b'makom ha'ishporon. But you cannot pour it in a place, ishporon, where it gathers together. Rashi explains, what does ha'ishporon mean? Lashon shvira, which means to break, shemishtabe harkarka, it breaks the ground, the yesh become, and there are little cracks in the ground, shemayim ne'esof, and they gather together in a puddle, v'shohen b'sochon, and the water just remains there, stagnant, v'ein nivlon, it doesn't get swallowed, absorbed in the ground, v'machmitzin. So it just kind of sits there, so therefore this water, this mei nachtom, or the mei tashmisho, you can or should, you're only allowed to pour in a place where it goes away, it absorbs into the ground, but not a place where it gathers together to allow it to become it. However, if Tani Idach, there's yet another brisa that says, Shovchin b'makom ha'ishbron, you are allowed to pour it in a place where it can create a puddle and just sit and wait there. So aren't we concerned it might turn into chametz? Says the Gemara, Lo kasha, ha din afishi di kavu, ha lo nafishi di lo kavu. No, it depends how much there is. If there's a lot, Rashi explains, ha din afishi di kavu, ha lo nafishi di lo kavu. Kishen merubos, when there's a lot of it, hey nikvalos, they gather together el makum echad into one place. Ve'ein nivlaos mehar maher umachmitos. They don't get absorbed very quickly, and that's going to turn into chametz. Kishen muatos lo kavu. So it depends how much you have. If there's a lot, don't pour it because the ground's going to get saturated and end up staying above ground. If there's very little bit, it will get absorbed in the ground and won't be a problem. Says the Gemara, completely different halacha, but related to baking of the matzah. Amar Yehuda, Isha lo silosh ela b'mayim shalanu. A woman is only allowed to bake matzah with mayim shalanu. What exactly does mayim shalanu mean? So says Rashi, shalanu balayla, that it was left overnight. Not shalanu hours, we'll see a story about that in a second. Not shalanu la shalish alcha shalanu hours. Shalanu, that was lina. Lina meant left overnight. Says Rashi again, shalanu balayla was left overnight. Mipnei shebiyamei nisan, Hamayanos Chamin, in the summer months, in times of Nisan, not quite the summer, before the summer, the spring or earlier, the springs were very hot. Shadai Nimos HaGashamim, because those are still continued of the rainy season. Kedamrinu B'mishahaya, in the Gemara, the parak later on in Pesachim. B'mos HaGashamim Chama Mahaleches B'shipulashok Rekia. In the winter months, the sun is lower down. It's closer to the ground. It's not high up. It's much closer to the ground. Lufikach kol ha'olam tsonin. The entire world is cold. Umayanos chamim. But however, the springs are very hot because the sun is lower down to the ground. Hilkach malin b'layla umitzanin. Therefore, when you draw the water from these springs, you have to let it sit out and cool off. Because if you were to use this water when it was still warm from the spring, it would be more likely to turn into chametz. So therefore, let it sit overnight. That's the explanation according to Rashi. The Rif and the Rambam have a different explanation. They say, nothing to do with where the sun is located, rather when you pull the water out, so the tanusam, the shaking, the movement of the water, will create heat. How exactly does that create heat by moving the water? Did you do physics also?
Kinetic energy?
What?
You move something around, it warms it up.
So I think the physics equation, correct me if I'm wrong, but PV equals NRT. Pressure times volume equals N is a constant. No, N is the amount, R is a constant, T is temperature. Somewhere in there, maybe the pressure, something in there tells you about the movement of something, generates heat. I don't know how these things work. So I think that must be the idea behind the Rif and the Rambam, that the drawing of the water, that's what they say. Look, the Ran is very clear. You draw the water, and that tanusam, that shaking, that movement of the water, the rapids, will create some amount of heat, and therefore you have to let it sit out. And the Urayim says differently. Urayim says, similar to Rashi, it has to do with the sun, but it doesn't have to do with the rainy seasons versus the summer seasons. Rather, it has to do with the time of the day. So the nighttime, when the summer is underneath the ground, the sun is behind us, underneath the world, if you will, so then it heats the springs that are in the ground. But during the daytime, when the sun's above, it's not heating the springs that are below ground. That's how he explains it. And there are, I can think, a couple other slight nuances in the Rishonim how to explain the problem of Mayim Shelanu. But there are nafkamina, let's say rivers that don't go underground. Is that going to be a problem? So according to the Rif and the Rambam, who say drawing the water that creates heat, so even drawing from a river is going to be problematic whenever I move the water, whenever there's some type of rapid. But according to the Rashi and the Yireim, which is about the sun being below the ground, either at nighttime or Yemos Kishamim, that might not be problematic because the rivers are above ground. Only the springs that are below ground might be affected. That's what the Chorim talk about. Even the Rishonim actually talk about that idea. And then they also talk about what time of day when you draw it will be a difference outside draw it during the daytime. They're talking about like drawing at the nighttime. Are there different times during the day? So according to the Rif, it doesn't make a difference when you draw the water. It's only going to be a problem whenever you draw it. Whenever you move the water, it's going to be a problem. According to the Reim, the problem is when nighttime the sun is below ground and it warms up the springs. If I draw it during the daytime, where the sun's above ground, the springs are below ground, so then the springs won't be warm from the sun. And these are the types of things they talk about.
Such a strange concept.
It is a very strange concept. It's fascinating that a lot of the Hasidim make a tremendous big deal of Mayim Shelanu. It's like seemingly like one line in the Gemara doesn't really just seem to be much of a big deal. They make a big, big deal of it. So I'll tell you why. One idea that I saw, what's pshat in Mayim Shelanu, so they say is, and why it's such a big deal, the Hasidim make a big deal, I saw the bells, the Rebbe Mibels said something, and also I think the Ger Rebbe also has something like this on the Haggadah, as follows, that Pesach versus Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot have a very different view on how the tshuva is being done. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, it's tshuva meyira. We're doing tshuva because we're scared. When it comes to Pesach, it's tshuva me'ava because the love of Hashem become closer. What's the difference? The Gemara in Yuma tells us that tshuva me'ava takes the zidonos and turns it into zichuyos, flips over our averos and makes them into positive. When it comes to tshuva meyira, it just throws away our averos. But again, tshuva me'ava turns our averos into positive, into zechuyos, into mitzvahs, if you will. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, we throw it into the water. We throw tashach, we're throwing it away. However, when it comes to Pesach, we're drawing the water. We're pulling the Mayim Shelanu, we're pulling it back to us. That which we threw away, times of Rosh Hashanah, we're drawing back to us. We're turning those into zechuyos and being part of us. That's the a deeper idea that the Hasidim discuss. Another point that comes up here in the postgame about Mayim Shelanu, whether if you put it in the refrigerator, will that help, or the freezer, will that help also? Or do you have dafka to let it sit overnight? So those are things. Again, there's a lot to discuss about Mayim Shelanu. One line of the Gemara really created a lot of discussion in the Rishonim and the Achronim. So the Gemara goes on to bring a story about Mayim Shelanu. Darsha Rav Masna Pifunia. Rav Masna gave a drasha in Pifunia. And he spoke about that. He said this to halacha that la'i shalotilo she'ela b'mayim shalanu. You could only use mayim shalanu l'macha the very next day. Aisu kuli alma chatzvayu. Everybody brought their containers, their jugs. Va'asu l'gavei and went to Rav Masna. Va'amru la havlan maya. Give us some water. He said, no, what are you talking about? Amar lahu anam b'maya deves amar. I didn't say mayim shalanu. I didn't say you have to use our water. I said like our water in the house. I said, Mayim Shelanu, mine that was left overnight. So they misunderstood what they had said. He thought Mayim Shelanu meant our water. So that's when they all came to the house of Rav Masna to collect his water. He said, I didn't mean Shelanu, our water. I meant water that was left overnight. So they went back home and they did the proper thing for the Mayim Shelanu. So some of the Achronim are bothered. What exactly are we learning from this Maisa? Why tell this Maisa? We know what the halacha is. What's the point of this Maisa? So the Sfas Emes writes, to tell us that when giving a drasha in front of Am Ha'aretz, one has to be very careful how to articulate, how to be clear about the halacha you're talking about. The Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about, to get smicha, one of the criteria are you have to be clear in what you're saying. If you're not clear in what you're saying, you're not allowed to get smicha. No matter how much you know, if you're going to give off the wrong impression, the wrong halacha, it's very problematic. You have to be articulate and very clear. So this is a maisa that apparently he wasn't in that particular case, and one has to be very clear when giving the halacha over to Am Ha'aretz, or anybody for that matter. The Baal Chavas Das and Baal Nesivas writes as follows, a different approach. He says something fascinating. This story tells us that Munas Chachamim, the people of Pifunia knew it made no sense to use Mayim Shelanu, meaning the Mayim of Rav Masna. Why would Rav Masna's water be any different than the water I have in my backyard in the river? What's the point? But he says, since the Talmud Chacham, since the Rav said something, even though it makes no sense to me, we still went ahead. And Munas Chacham, we did what he wanted us to do. And that's what we learned from this Maisa. Okay, so then the Gemara goes on to say, Darish Rava, Rava made the following drasha. Isha lo tilosh bechama. A woman is not supposed to need in the heat of the sun. Below bechame chama, and not in water. Rashi says b'mayim shehuchmu b'chama v'kol shkein b'chame ha'or. You shouldn't be using water that was warmed up by the sun or any other element of heat. And the Gemara says v'lo b'mayim hagrufim min ha'molayer, which Rashi explains here is hagrufim min ha'molayer dod hagadol shenechoshes, a large like hot water container, a boiler. V'toloy al ha'or kol shah nechoshes avar. It's always on the fire, and there's a very thick metal to it. V'afilu k'shein sham or, even when the fire is turned off, mayim shebishulav t'chamim ha'poshen, the water at the bottom is still going to be pretty hot, so that water shouldn't be used either. And the Gemara says, "V'lo takbiya yada min hatanur ad shetigmor es kol hapas." And a woman should not take her hand out of the pas. She should be constantly working at the pas until everything is complete. Because the moment she leaves the gong, as we said a number of times, as long as there's constant movement in the water and the chametz, and the bread and the flour, rather, it will not turn to chametz. We spoke about this talking about boiling water. If it's boiling water, it's not going to turn into chametz. If there's a drip dropping coming from the roof, that's not going to turn to chametz either. So be constantly working at the pas until it's complete into turning to matzah. And the Gemara says, "V'tzarech shnei kelim." She needs two kelim. Echad shemikatef esbo, ve'echad shemitanen esbo es yadeh. One she needs, Rashi says, is shemikatef esbo tacha pnei acharor b'mayim. She smears the outside of this matzah with water. And the other one, Rashi says, is shemitanen esbo yadeh dosen shemikatef esbehen mechamem es mechom yadeh v'ha'isa. So she has to cool off her hand in between from all the movement. Her hand gets pretty warm from all the constant smearing and the working on the matzah, so she has to cool her hands off in the middle between each dough that she's making.
The women made the matzahs? I mean,
That's what it seems like, right? Pretty interesting. I was also wondering why in the beginning, in the initial Amar of Yehuda, Ishalo Tilosh El B'mayim Shalanu. But if a man was making the matzah, a man wouldn't have to use Mayim Shalanu. Of course, he would have to use Mayim Shalanu. The point is, no, the women made they cooked in the house, they baked in the house, they did everything. Nowadays, I don't think any man would let a woman make the matzahs. It's interesting. I guess this would seem to be a riot. Remember the discussion, the Gemara in the first parak talks about that women are trusted in regards to Bedikas Chametz, or are they not trusted? That discussion came up. Here, we clearly, only the women were the ones that baked the matzah. So why is baking the matzah, do we trust, at least we used to trust the women, when it came to Bedikas Chametz, we didn't trust the women. Now, Lamaisa nowadays, everything has flipped, actually. We saw in the, I think, Chuvas Hanhago says nowadays women are actually more makbid on Bedikas Chametz than men are. So everything's flipped. When it comes to Bedikas Chametz, the Gemara didn't trust the women, but nowadays we do trust the women more than the men. In times of the Gemara, it seems that the women made the matzahs, but nowadays the men make the matzahs, not the other way around. So I'm not sure if it's a halachic thing about Nemanis or just the way things were done. Says the Gemara now, Ibailu had the following shiloh. Avra v'losha mau. Let's say they went against this din and ended up kneading, Rashi says, b'chamen. They used warm water for kneading the dough when they really weren't supposed to. So marzutcha amar mutter. V'ashi amar asar machlokis amaroim. Whether or not this is going to be mutter asar b'dievet. Says the Gemara. Amar marzutcha mina minola. How do I know this? Titani, the Brisa says, ain losus in hasa'or in b'pesach. We said, we had a whole discussion, and one shouldn't soak the barley in Pesach. However, vim losas, if he does, nisbaku asurim, if when soaking the barley, the piece of barley started to crack, which is an indication of starting to turn into chametz, then they're asur. However, lo nisbaku mutarm, if they don't start to crack, it's mutter. So we see, even though they were advised not to, but b'dieved, they violated the isur and soaked it in water, it was mutter b'dieved. So too, he also wants to say that if avra v'losh, if you went against this rule, this Takanas Chachamim, and kneaded it in warm water, b'di'eved, it's going to be mutter, just like soaking in water is going to be mutter b'di'eved. So Rashi says, Amar atu kula chada michisa michasinu, which Rashi explains to mean, michisa michisinu, kulam ariga achas arigasa, was all one swoop, one weaving of everything together, meaning, Rashi says, mishum debechad isur derbanon, because one isur derbanon, namely that of lissisa, Tana, the price that teaches us in Avar Mutar Bachila, if you go against it and you do it the wrong way, it's Mutar B'yev Bachila, Ba'is L'meim Anami Bakulo. Are we going to say every single Takanas Chachamim, if you go against it, B'yev it's Mutar? No, of course not. Says the Gemara, Hechad Itmar Itmar, Hechad Delo Itmar Itmar. When we find that the Brisa teaches us the halacha is that b'dieved it's mutter, then you can say it's mutter. When the Brisa doesn't tell us b'dieved it's mutter, it's not going to necessarily be mutter. So again, the kasha is how can Rav Zutshi say just because lo sizin b'dieved is mutter, so the same thing applies to lisha, it's going to be mutter b'dieved. One is the two completely different takanas. So therefore, Rashi says, since we don't find the Brisa telling us b'dieved, if a woman were over v'losha, it's going to be mutter, therefore we have to assume it's going to be aser b'dieved. Hadron lach kol shah. Okay. New parak now. This next Mishnah Gemara is quite technical now. So the Mishnah tells us as follows. Elu ovrin b'pesach, the following pieces of chametz, or the following foods, are going to be a violation of Pesach. So first of all, Rashi tells us what's the aveira we're talking about here. Rashi tells us elu ovrin alein b'bal yirah b'yimatzer. The following are going to be aser if leaving them over because b'bal yirah b'yimatzer. It says Tosos, that first Tosos on this parak, the second one of the daf, elu ovrin b'pesach, perish b'kuntris lav v'alein b'bal yirah b'yimatzer. He quotes Rashi. V'gam rivah medaktik b'lashon ovrim. He also makes a dik from l'lashon ovrim. D'mashma ovrim min ha'olam. That you have to over, remove it from this world, get rid of it. That's to get rid of b'bal yirah b'yimatzer. However, ve'ein near the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was not comfortable with this trap. D'mashma d'chol hanuch marvinan mikol machmetzes. All these things listed, the Gemara is going to tell us, is learned out from the pasuk mikol machmetzes lo tochelu. Even in eating, you're not going to be violating the Isser. Ilab the Rabbi Akra had the pasuk not included them. How do you know we're talking about Bali Rabbi Yimatzeh? But near the Rabbeinu Tam, the Elu Ovrin Peshaha Ochlin. The people who eat are not talking about possessing these things, but rather the people who are eating these things are going to be in violation of Ovrin. What does it mean, Ovrin? Not to get rid of it from your house completely, rather, Hainami al Shulchan, Dilab Bnei Mechaninu Ababla Yiral Leka. So he says that the Isser, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Isser is eating it, but there's no Isser to possess these things. However, Rashi thinks, no, there's an Isser even to own these things, and certainly to eat them as well. That's Machlokas Rashi Tosos here, and it really goes throughout many places in Pesach. So what are these things? What are the Elu Ovrim B'Pesach? So says the Mishnah, Kusach HaBavli, and the Gemara is going to explain what all of these things are. I'll try to tell you. Kusach HaBavli is something that has chametz in it, has flour. Of course, all of these things have chametz, but it has flour and milk. Sheikha Hamadai, a type of beer made in Madai, Chometz Hadomi, vinegar, Zaysim Hamitsri. I'm not sure what Zaysim Hamitsri is. We got anything in Zaysim Hamitsri?
I'm done.
Okay, you're done. Oh, you're finished. Okay. Bezuman Shel Tzivayim. Let's just stop midway, just in the.
I mean, like, they didn't even get the Mishnah.
So,
wow.
I forgot about my own statement.
Not very helpful for the Daf Yomi people.
Yep.
Wow.
You have to stay in the head of the game.
Right. Okay, then again, Zaysim HaMitzri, the Gemara is going to tell us what that means. Zuman Shel Tzvam, the Gemara will also tell us what that means. And Amelim Shel Tzvachim will also tell us what that means. And Kolon Shel Sofer. Okay, all these things are examples of things that are going to be Chametz, and you're over on either Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh according to Rashi, or you're going to violate Isra Achila according to Tosfos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he comes to add something else to the list, Af Tachshit Enoshim, even a jewelry. The Gemara is going to say, not really jewelry, it really means something else. Zeklal. This is the following cloud to know. Kol shu min dagon hareza over bePesach. Anything that has any grain in it is going to be over on Pesach. One cannot have it. Hare elu bazara. These things are going to be violating a lav of the ein bem mishum karis. However, you do not get karis for these things. You only get a lav for these things listed in the Mishnah. And of course, he's only talking about eating. Rashi says, "Vein bem karis im achlan." If you were to eat these things, you don't get karis, because you never get karis for owning any chametz. It's only for eating something. So, if you were to eat these things, you'd only get a lab. You would not get karis. Tanur Rabbanan. The Brisa says, "Shlosh dvarim nemarim bekusach chabavli." There are three things said about the kusach chabavli, which is this milk flour mixture. Mitamtim es halev. It kind of closes off the heart. Misames einayim, it causes someone to lose his eyesight. Umachesh esaguf, and it weakens the body. Mitamtim esalev, why does it close off the heart, or I don't know, it like clogs the arteries maybe?
Mishum, physically or an expression?
It sounds like a physical thing. All the other two things are physical, so my guess is, oftentimes, right, it is used as, you know, figuratively about spiritually, but I think here it means physically. It closes off the heart, you know, clogs the arteries maybe. Mishum nisyovo dechalva, which is the, I think, like the whey of the milk, the certain parts of the milk, the dairy part, that will close off the arteries. Maybe, at, you know, a lot of cholesterol, maybe, in the milk, the cheese. Umisam es einayim, it blinds someone. Mishum milcha, because the salt, as we know from the Rashi, tells us three lines from the bottom, and Misames Einayim, Mishamilcha, Melech Sedomus, Yesh, Shemisames Einayim, Kshinoge Bemelach, Vechoz Vinoge Beayim. So if you touch, if you happen to have Melech Sedomus, it's a very strong, powerful salt, and touch one's eye, that causes blindness. That's why the one of the reasons of my Machronim, because of this Melech Sedomus. So since Melech Sedomus, the salt exists in the Kusach HaBavli, so that was a concern of blinding an eye. Umachish esagof, it weakens the body, mishum kumnisa deumna. Rashi tells us, is ifusha pas, the mold of the pas, shemis ape shalachar zman besocha kusach. It kind of sat there for a while. The kusach was something they made, and they kept in the house for, I don't know, a very long time. Apparently, any of the bread or flour that was there turned a bit moldy, and that moldy was not very good for the body. So not too much good to say about kusach. Says the Gemara, quotes of Bryson, now Tanur Banan, more about types of food. Gimel Dvar Marbin Hazevel, three things increase waste. Vakofin Esakoma, it causes a person to be like a hunchback. Vinolin Echad Mechamesh Meos Memorianov Shaldim, it also takes 1/500th of a person's eyesight away. Elohain, the following are them. Hain Pas Kivar, which is unclean flour. Does Rashi tell us what that means here? No, but it means like it wasn't sifted well. It was, I guess, whole grains, maybe. Ezra usually knows these types of stuff. Coarse flour. Sheikhar Chadash, fresh beer. And Yerkai, a raw piece of vegetables. Tell us to your wives. But I think it means any vegetable. Rashi just says, Krishin, Betzelim, Vechazarim, which I think are things that really are inedible, like onions and perhaps garlic. Other things are inedible when being raw. Not all vegetables, I don't think. Then the Bryson says, Tanur Rabbanan Shlosha Devar Mimatan Hazevel, three things that you were to eat would decrease the amount of waste. Vizok v'nesachom, and gives you better posture. U'meir n'esainayim, and brings back your eyesight. Elohein pas nekia, clean, white type of flour. Basar shamin, fat meat. And yayin yashin, old aged wine. Pas nekia, what's pas nekia? What's about that? So it says the Gemara, dismidi. Rashi is solus, which means solus was a very clean, white type of flour. Basa shamein, the tziparsa de lo aftech. Rashi says the bitarsa de lo aftech is shalol yalda, a goat that never gave birth. That's apparently a fatty piece of meat. And yain yashan atika atik atiki. So Rashi says atik atiki, yashin shal shalol shalom, at least 3 years old. That's the good wine that we're talking about. So it says the Gemara, Kol mili demale lahai kash lahai. Anything that's good for one part of the body is going to be bad for a different part of the body. With the kash lahai, it's bad for this, it's going to be mali lahai, will be good for a different part of the body. Bar me, except for the following things, which are going to be good on all levels. Mizangabila retiva, some type of spice, Rashi says, is zin zebra. I think it is cinnamon, right, from the Gemara's in Brachos. Yes, yeah, so cinnamon is good, but retiva has to be not the dry cinnamon, but has to be moist. Upilpila arichta, some type of long pepper. Upas nikia, this white bread. Ubasar shamin, and a fatty piece of meat. V'yayin yasha, and old wine. Dimala l'chuli gufa, which is good for the entire body. Sounds like a lot of cholesterol with the wine and the heavy meats, but these things are really good for the body. Nothing bad about those things. Oh, made of ginger. Okay. Is that like the ginger you have in like sushi? Is that what it is? That pink stuff? Isn't that ginger?
That's pickled ginger, I think.
That's pickled.
Fresh ginger.
Fresh ginger has to be. I don't think I had fresh ginger. Okay.
Check your vegetable.
Fresh ginger?
I juice it all the time.
Yeah?
It's very good for you.
Wow. I didn't realize, so now you're a juicer. That's where last week you knew about the juicer, so you have to have a juicer. Now it makes sense.
Spend way too much money on this stuff.
Okay. Juiced ginger is good?
Yeah. Wow. Kale is
dumb.
Go there.
Kale, okay. We mentioned that last week.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a big food guy. Fine. So says the Gemara.
I don't know
why flour. Okay. Says the Gemara. We're going to go through now a number of the things listed in the Mishnah, what exactly they were. Sheikha Hamadai is Diramu Bay Mei Sari. It was a beer that they would put in beer, barley. The different types of beers that were made. So I think Rashi tells us, four lines down, the Rami Bay Meshari, Shematilin Tocha Mesar, when they put in the barley, juiced barley, right? Kagon Sheikha Shalon, like the beers that we have nowadays, Rashi says, Vosino Sobimadai. That's what they made in Madai. And Rashi says further, Sheikha Madai, the beer of Madai, Lefisha Be'osan Hayam, in those days, says Rashi, throughout Shas, whenever Sheikhar is mentioned, it's always mentioned made from Tamarim, from dates. But in Madai, they were Mechadesh, make it from barley, and that's the one Rashi in his day they used, and nowadays also, that's the way beer is made from barley. And that's Sheikhar Madai, because it had barley in them, barley would be Chametz.
I didn't even know you can make beer.
Yeah, Gemara always talks about making it from there. You can make it from a number of things. I don't know exactly how, but it's actually halacha brought down Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to drink beer in a bar. You can't buy beer from a bar, from a non-Jewish bar, and you can't drink it in that place. So, tell me what type of bar are they talking about. So the pashas is, the Gemara is supposed to say they're talking about Sheikhar of Tamarim, of dates. But it comes to Sheikhar of Sorim, one's allowed to buy such a beer. For whatever reason that is, that's in the time. So there's a heter if you're going to beer out with a client, so you're allowed to make adin. However, you do look at the Chai Adam has not such great things to say about those who do that, even that of a beer-based, barley-based beer. But there's a heter brought down in the post.
That's because you don't want to hang out with Goyim.
That's the whole basis of the Gzera, is that you can drink with the Goyim. Yeah.
What did you say? Translation?
Mishim Chasnas, getting married to the non-Jews.
To
don't
men?
Intermarriage.
To
men? No, to women. To not intermarriage with women.
If you go out with, my point is, if you go out with men, like men.
No, but he might want to marry you off to his daughter or whatever.
Really?
Or are you? They drink with the non-Jews.
When they go to social things, he'll offer his son to his daughter. That's the whole thing. It's the whole Gzera with
exactly.
I'm really smart about it. So that's really the concern?
Sure, yeah. It's wholesome in your day. So either way, so the Sheikh Hamade, they were, I don't know if the first ones, but in those times they were the only ones to make beer from barley, and that's what we use nowadays. And the Gemara says, V'chomet ha-domi, this type of vinegar, the shadu bei sari, this vinegar, it wasn't just stam vinegar, I'm not sure what type of, you could get vinegar from a number of foods, but whatever the vinegar was, they threw barley in this as well. That's why that was the chametz there. Amar of Nachman betchila kishayu mevin nisachim Yehuda initially when they brought the nisachim for the Beis Hamikdash from the wine libation they brought from Yehuda. Lo hayu yenam shel Yehuda machmitz, the wine of Yehuda wouldn't turn bad, wouldn't ferment. Ad shenosan latochan tzorin, until they put the barley in, the barley helped it ferment and turn into real wine. Vayukorin also chametz stam, that they referred to stam vinegar. Va'achshav, however, nowadays. However, nowadays in Yehuda it would go bad, but it was Edom, it was the children of Esav. Their yain was so good and strong, stayed so fresh. It didn't. Their wine didn't go. It didn't ferment. Their grape juice didn't ferment until they actually put Seorin in. V'korin oso chometz ha'adomi. They would refer to that chometz as the chometz of the Adomi of the children of Esav of Edom. L'kayim mashenemar to mekayim the following pasuk shenemar amaleya hacharva. That I will be filled. I will be, I will fill that which is destroyed. Im meleazu charavazu. Im meleazu charavazu. Which Rashi tells us to mean, amalei hacharava. Reisha dekra yan amrat sur Yerushalayim haach. Es male min churvana shel Yerushalayim. I will fill that which got destroyed of Yerushalayim. Vitzur me'edom he. And tzur is from Edom. So what it means to say is, when Edom is being successful, Klai Yisrael won't be. When Klai Yisrael is successful, Edom won't be. They're going to have this inverse relationship back and forth based on this pasuk. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Mehacha, he brings a different pasuk which tells us the same thing. Lu'um milam yamatz. That also tells us when Rashi says lu'um milam yamatz kisha esev gibur Yaakov chalash ein malchu shnei miskayim yachad. Both kingdoms cannot be successful at both times. Either it's the kingdom of Esav, Edom, the Christians, or it's Klal Yisrael, the children of Yaakov, of course. So either way, when we call Chometz Edomi, that's a reference to the vinegar of the Edom, whose grape juice would only turn into wine, would only vinegar, would only ferment, if they put sour in them, and therefore it's Chometz. Says the Gemara. Further, Tanya, the Brisa states, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, B'Yehuda, B'Rishona, in the beginning, in the place of Yehuda, that section of Eretz Yisrael, Halokea Chometz Ma'amaretz, Ein Yitzarech La'aser. A person who buys vinegar from Ma'amaretz does not need to take Meiser. Ribnei Shechazaka, Ein Aba Elamina Temed. Pashas is, they only got this from the Temed. What does Temed mean? Rashi says Temed is Bopit, don't know that. But Lefisha Hayain Hayatov, Veno Machmetz, Vistam Chometz Shalhem Min Temed Hayaba. So the grape juice that came out, the wine was so good, it wouldn't go bad, it wouldn't turn into any vinegar, so they would only be able to get it from the temed. So So tamid, I believe, is using like the leftovers of the grapes. They would pour water on that, and it was so potent, the grapes, so even the leftovers, by pouring water, will have some flavor of wine, but it's not really wine, it's mostly water, but the strong flavor will make it taste like it. So therefore, it's not chayv in maisa. Maisa is only chayv on grapes and wine and grape juice of the sort. But this was just water, it was flavored grape. It was like a grape juice, so it was just flavored, but not real grapes to it, and therefore it wasn't chayv in maisa. That's why you didn't have to take maisa on the chometz bought from the Am HaAretz. However, nowadays the Gemara says, "Halokeh chometz me'am aretz tzarich la'aser." Now you have to. Shechaskaso ain't a ba'el min ha'yain. Pashas is it probably came from yain because the grape juice wasn't so good, and therefore the grapes, the wines after time turned bad and turned into vinegar. So it was real a base of grape juice, and therefore you would have to take ma'aser on those things. The Savar Rabbi Yehuda temed labar asiruhu. Does he really hold that this temed does not require ma'aser? The Hatani, the Brisa tells us, "Hamitzamed v'nosan mayim b'mida, u'matza k'dei midasa pater." If you, again, this is temet is pouring water over the different parts of the different leftovers of the grape juice. So, if you were to make this temet, the water mixed with the this flavored grapes, the first opinion says it's pater from meiser. Rehuda is mechayiv. Rehuda says you are mechayiv in temet. So, before we said Rehuda says you're pater from meiser in this temet, here Rehuda says you're chayiv in it. So Halchi Kamar, this is what he means to say. Lo nechshetu Ame Haaretz al HaTemed. No, what it means to say is, Ame Haaretz, you don't have to take Maaser when you buy from them, because you have to get, there's a chiv to take Maaser on Temed. On this water mixed with grapes, you have to take Maaser. But Ame Haaretz, you don't have to take when you buy from Ame Haaretz, because Ame Haaretz would take Maaser. They weren't concerned. Normally speaking, they would not want to take Maaser to Ame Haaretz because they lose money on it. I got to take a tenth of my property, I'm going to lose money. I'm going to sell everything to them and make them take the tenth. I came to Temet, it was pretty, it was water mixed with grape juice. It wasn't so much of a loss for them. So there they would take Meiser. Right, Rashi said, let's read it in Rashi. Rashi says, Hachi Kamar, Masnisa Kemaisa, the first Brisa, Lo Nechshu to Ame Haaretz, Mila Aser Satemet. They weren't concerned, we weren't concerned they didn't take it. The Fisha Eino Chashu Beinem, it wasn't really Chashu, it wasn't so valuable. This Temet, the Fika Chalokcha Mimenu Pater Minamai. Therefore, the person who buys from Ame Haaretz Temet is Pater for Minamaiser. Meaning, Maker didn't, it requires Maiser, but we assume already was taken. The Gemara offers a second explanation, Vibai Seima Nechshu to Lokasha, Habidarvaka Habir. Really, we were concerned that the Am HaAretz did not take the Maaser. So why in one case does Rabbi Yehuda require you to take Maaser, in one case he doesn't? Depends on how this temed was made. Rashi explains that Rashi, the Ibais Ema Nechshadu, Rabbi Yehuda, v'masnisa, Rabbi Yehuda, k'maaser in the first price, taima mishun depater afu v'maaser v'ade, why you pater in the first case, v'temed deprutsani kamar, shenosin mayim mechartsonim, you put water in the seeds, v'hu machmitz u'martiach l'acher zman ki yayin hatosis v'yayin temed. Eventually, it would turn to chametz and it would turn into this temed. But less by el akiu de pirib. And the seeds that had a kiu, it had nothing. It was a tiny flavor. It was just flavor. It wasn't really a base of grape juice. It was flavoring of grapes. And that's the case of pater. When does he say you're required to take ma'aser bidarvaka, shenosin bishmar maim, where you actually take the sediment, which is real pieces of the grapes, or the thickening of the grape juice that turn like black. Sometimes you find the wine, some of the black things floating around. I think that's sediment, that's the shmar we're talking about. And then you pour water, that has a real base of grape juice. So if you're using simply the seeds, that just gives flavor, that's not going to be chayv ma'aser. But if you're using real sediment, which is real part of the grapes, that's going to be real chayv and ma'aser. And that's when he said you have to take ma'aser. Says the Gemara, what is this thing of Zeisim HaMitzri? So Zeisim Mai, Zeisim HaMitzri, says the Gemara, Tana Rav Yosef, Telasa Sari, a third of it's barley, Telasa Kurtimi, a third of it is, Rashi says, Marika Krug.
Saffron.
What is it?
Saffron.
Saffron? Okay. But Telasa Milk, and a third of it's salt. So beer, saffron, and salt is what the Zeisim HaMitzri is. But Papa Mapik Sari, he said, no, Sari, barley wasn't part of it. Umalchiti was really made from a third wheat, not a third barley. The simanach, the sign, the mnemonic that you shouldn't forget, is sisni. Because the sisni means, Rav Yosef says sorry. The sis, the double ses, the samach and the samach, reminds you Rav Yosef says sorry. That's how you don't forget who says which one. And then Mimele, Rav Papa is the one who says the chitim was in this Zeisim HaMitzri. Tarulu, if you soak this, the kalulu, and what does kalulu mean here? It doesn't tell us.
Toasted.
You toast it, okay, like kaliya caramel, okay. V'tachnu, then you grind it. V'shasu, then you drink it. Midivcha v'adatzar. So midivcha is lashon switch the dal with the zayin zevach. From Pesach, up until atzeres, up until Shavuos, that time period, to kamit, a person who's having a hard time going to the bathroom, marfile, it loosens him. V'darfi, if he's going to the bathroom too much, yeshulshul mekamile, it helps stop it. So that's the that's a feature of this zeisum mitzvah. And lechola uleisha, someone who's sick, or a woman leisha uvra, a woman who's pregnant, sakanta. This thing is quite dangerous. So this has quite the effect on the digestive system. This zeisum mitzvah. The zumin shel tzvaim. What is this thing? Listen, the Mishnah hacha targima. This is what it explained to mean. Maya dechiura, ditzavibhu liba. What, some type of white water? May subin, is that like soap or something?
Bran water. Which they used to dye the skins.
You dye the skins. Okay, so this type of thing wasn't really edible, it doesn't seem like, but had chametz in it, so that was the other thing listed. That's zeis zuman shel tzvaim. Vamelim shel tzvachim, Rashi, aside the Gemara says, pas tvua, it was made from a grain, shelohi v'yashlish, it wasn't, didn't grow to a third of where it's supposed to, it was undergrown, cut when it was before it was fully developed. Shemanicha pikder, you place on top of a hot pot. Vishuavas hazuama, and the steam and the heat would go into this thing, would create this vamelum shel tvachim. I'm not sure exactly what this was used for, but okay, fine. That's what this thing is. Kolon shel sofrim, halcha targima. The Gemara explains, what does this mean? Pirura d'ishkapi, which Rashi says is glued, some type of glue. It sticks things together. So Rav Simi Michozna Amar Zet Tipulum Shabanos Ashirim. This is the Tipulum that the rich, the daughters of the rich would use. Shemishayaras Osa Livnos Anim. That they would leave over for the Benos Anim, for the daughters of the poor families. So Rashi says that Tipulum Shabanos Ashirim, she shall solace, was made from flour and was used to remove any of the hairs on the body. Mishayaros, they would leave it over, Mishirein, Lebanos Sofrim, they would use it for the daughter. Oh, maybe this is the Gemara later on. Explains it. Okay, let's stop here for a moment in the Rashi. So back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Hotana Rabbi Chiya Arba Mine Medina Veshloshim Mine Umnus. Doesn't Rabbi Chiya tell us the following rule? So you don't forget that which was listed in the Mishnah. He tells us four of the things listed were from Medina, which the Bavli, Kusach HaBavli, and Edomi, and Hamadai, and Hamitzri, those are the four things from the Medina. And three of the things were Umanos, were certain trades. Now, V. Amis, Tipul Meshabnos Ashirim, if you tell me that was used for the removing of the hairs on the daughters of the rich families, my Mina Umanosika, that's not a trade. I understand when it came to the Tzvachim, the dyers, and the Tzvachim, the slaughterers, the Shechters. But Kolon Shosofim, if we're explaining to me, removing the hair from the skin, that's not a trade. Ela my Piru de Ashkapi, my Karile. Elmai perudishkupi must be not tipulum shell, not used to remove the hair. Rather, it's something used to glue together the different parchments. So my karlei high colon shel sofrim. So if it's coming to connect to glue the different parts, why is it referred to the colon shel sofrim, the glue used for the sofrim, the writers? It should be colon shel ritzonim. It should be used for the glue of the ritzon, the leather makers, the strap makers, because they use it to glue together the different pieces of leather. Mi barley. That's how it should have said. Amar of Oshaya leolam piru dashkapi. Really, it is the glue. Umai karlei and colon shel sofrim. Why is it called the glue of the sofrim? The sofrim nami medapkin bu neirosayim. Just like the leather strap makers would use it to glue together the leather, so too the sofrim would use it to glue together the piece of paper, the parchment, for the sofrim. Okay, so we'll stop here. I told you it would be a little shorter daf today, but there's not much to talk about other than these technical